I'd like to read two slightly unusual scriptures tonight. First one is in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, page 1366 in this Bible. Romans 15 and verse 12. Romans 15 and 12. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and one that arises to rule over the nations. In him shall the nations hope. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that ye should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the other scripture is in 1 Timothy. 1 Epistle to Timothy, page 1433, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope. So what I'm thinking here is the thought tonight is on hope. Hope, as we had it in this last verse, and it's Christ Jesus, our hope. And earlier, it speaks about the God of hope. Only time it's mentioned in Scripture is the God of hope. I remember working a wee while back at somebody's house, and it struck me, and a lot of things happen in a day's time at somebody's house, but the chap was telling me a story or something, and he says, yes, fingers crossed, it's going to work out. Can't even remember what the context of the story was. And he said it again later on the same day, and it was fingers crossed. I'm thinking, well, fingers crossed, is that your hope? But it turns out that hope, when referred to by people normally, there is a huge element of doubt. Doubt. We hope to go here, or we hope something arrives, or we hope to... But it's doubt. Well, they would like it to happen, but there is doubt. When we come to the gospel, hope is something that is expected, but we don't know when. Different context. It is assured, but we don't know the precise timing of it. And it was just my thought here, this thought of hope. We all, every day, need hope. The opposite of hope is despair. Persons, and we meet them on a daily basis, going about through life in despair. No hope. Nothing to, in a sense, look forward to. Nothing assured in their future. Nothing to hang on to. And it was just this scripture here, and I'd just like to simply go through it. Isaiah says, so that's Isaiah in the Old Testament, says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and one that arises to rule over the nations. In him shall the nations hope. The root of Jesse. Jesse is a man, and he was father of David. Father of King David. King David was the king who took Israel to a place of great prominence. Great power, great fighter David was, great battle winner, and in a sense, the root of Jesse is like the background. Where did Jesse come from? What was the root of Jesse? Romans 15, verse 12. Where was the source of it? The root of David. Where root of Jesse? It really was of God. That's what the point of this was. And one shall arise and rule over the nations. So, a Jew, a if I put, paraphrase it slightly, a Jew is going to rule over the nations. David, in a sense, ruled over Israel. Not so sure if he ruled over the nations round about. Solomon certainly had other nations that were tributary to the Jews. But this is a king that is going to be raised up from Israel, a Jew, and he's going to rule over the nations. And it says there, in him shall the nations hope. In him. In him. And I think that's my point tonight. Our hope is a person. Our hope is a person. It's not a thing. It's not an object. It's not an idea. It's not something that's yet to transpire or maybe happen. No, our hope is in a person. In him shall the nations hope. Now, the God of hope. And I just struck with this, the great thought of the God of hope. There is elsewhere in this passage, verse 5, the God of endurance and of encouragement. And then the last verse of this chapter, it speaks about the God of peace. But the God of hope. You might say, God, what I was mentioning this afternoon, God is the source of all our blessing. But the God of hope, God gives hope. The great giver of hope, the source of hope. What has he got in mind? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The world is desperate for joy and peace. And here it is, to find joy and peace in believing. In believing. And I think that's where the glad tidings comes in. In believing. In what? In believing in a person. In a person. Because there is the other side of not believing. Persons, you'll speak to them maybe and they'll say, No thanks. I don't want that. Not believing. Not now. Not this. No, I don't want it. Goodbye. Not believing. But what has God got in mind? This God of hope. This God of hope has in mind that everyone would come into blessing. Blessing. What a God we have. God set man in perfect conditions on this earth, and man went his own way. Think of Satan come in. Did God say, got the Garden of Eden? Think of how things came in there. Did God say, doubted God? And the reality is, sin came in. Distance came in. The relationship between God and man was broken. Absolutely broken. What a end that was to the relationship between God and man. But God provided an answer. God provided a way back for mankind in Jesus. Jesus came in, you might say, uninvited, unwanted. Man didn't want it. Man had no idea that he needed a Saviour. God provided a Saviour. God provided Jesus entirely from his own side, that you and I may have an opportunity to come into blessing. This here, joy and peace in believing. Believing in what? What is left to us here in 2024 is Jesus' name. Jesus' name. His name represents the person. Person's name represents that person. Somebody says, yes, that's Brian Mayer. That is that person. But when it comes to Jesus, what was Jesus? Who was Jesus? What was he about? What was the reason for him being here? He came here to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost to God and lost to man. What a failure man was Every way that God tried man all the way through the Old Testament, man failed. Man failed. Man was put in, as I said, Garden of Eden, pristine conditions, everything perfect. Man failed. Man was left on his own, and he failed again. Noah came in, judgment came in. Noah came out the other side, failed again. Man was taken up, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, failed each time. God put them in captivity, still they failed. Took them out of Egypt, failed again. Yes, mankind left to his own devices is a failure. And God knows that. God knows the condition that you and I are in. That is why God sent Jesus. God sent an offering, sent a way that could be understood by people. Think of it. I've been taking a little bit of interest this last while in animals and birds and such like things. And I mean, to get close to a sparrow, somebody said years ago, the only way you can ever get close to a sparrow is to become a sparrow. Yes, God came in as a man. God revealed himself as a real man. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Which of us are not acquainted with grief and sorrows? Yes, that was the man that came in. A man of dependence on God. A man who walked about on this scene, often wondered the conditions, the time that the Lord came into, the physical conditions that he lived in. You might say it's quite different to today. If he'd waited to now, he could have gone about in a car or an aeroplane or whatever, boat. But no, what did he do? He walked. He did cross the Lake of Galilee a few times by boat, which wouldn't have been very big. It's only a mode of transport apart from a donkey that we read of him. Yes, Jesus was a real man. A real man. Going about doing his business as a carpenter, joiner. That was his trade, we understand through Scripture. But he came here to die. His perfect life was incapable of taking away sin. His perfect life, perfect before men, perfect before God, was incapable of resolving the matter of your and my sin. It needed his death. It needed the shedding of his precious blood. It needed those 3 hours of darkness on the cross. It needed him to be raised from among the dead. What a suffering Jesus endured that you and I can come into blessing. What suffering he endured. This man, and he was a Jew, he truly was a Jew, and he will arise. He rose, and in that sense, that first time that he was here, he was a real ordinary man. I was just struck with that, how real he came, how near he came as a real man. But those sufferings, it says that the Jews, they slapped him on the face. They buffeted him. They asked him to prophesy who had done it. He knew exactly who they were. Knew everything about him, knew their forebears, and knew their children. Knew everything about that person. Jesus was silent. Think of it. He was put there before Herod. Herod wondered at him. Pilate wondered at him. And he decided to send him to Herod, since he realized he was from Galilee. Send him to Herod. Herod could make nothing of him. And just belittled him. Send him back. Pilate there again says, I find no fault in him. No fault in him. Why did Pilate condemn him to be scourged if he found no fault in him? Why? Scourged. 35 lashes of the whip I understand. Horrific treatment to anybody, never mind somebody who's innocent. Then there was those had final mockery, put a robe upon him, the crown of thorns on his head. And you read one of the narratives of the story, the reed that he had in his hand as they mocked him as the king of the Jews, they used it to beat the crown of thorns on his head. Yes, mockery of man. Yes, the shocking treatment that Jesus got at the hands of his creature. God, Jesus, we understand, was the one who created the heavens and the earth, created man. And yet here he is, rejected entirely by the Romans, rejected by the Jews, and he's led outside the city to be crucified. Outside the city, rejected out there. Yes, what treatment was meted out to Jesus? 3 hours, first 3 hours on the cross, man's hatred flung at him. The crowds threw their reproaches. They threw their abuse at him. The second 3 hours, God dealt with him. 3 hours, man couldn't see it. It was blackness, darkness. Man had no idea really what was going on. At the end of it, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The necessity of Jesus forsaken, the necessity of Jesus having been made sin and still alive. He was made sin while alive. He bore the judgment and came forth triumphant, came out of it complete and sound, and the judgment had been borne and dealt with, finished. What a judgment it was to this spotless one, the one who knew no sin. In him sin was not, was made sin. It says there in Isaiah 53, Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Laid upon him. Wasn't a mistake. It was meant. It was laid upon him, the iniquity of us all. Sufferings of Jesus. Came forth, as we say, triumphant from that 3 hours. He spoke to his disciples. And then he says, it is finished. It is finished. Completely finished. Man's satisfaction, God's satisfaction, finished. And he delivered up his spirit and died. He bowed his head and died. What a power. What strength. He had authority to lay down his life. He had authority to take it again. He delivered up his spirit and he died. But it says that God raised him from among the dead. God raised him and gave him a new title. Title of Christ. Christ. Anointed. Anointed out of death. What a title that is, and it belongs to one man and one only. Many other titles are shared by others, but there is only one Christ. There only is one. And that was my simple thought in that other scripture in Timothy. And of Christ Jesus, our hope. Paul here, he's starting his letter and he's just, you might say, almost putting his signature to the first bit to say, this is who's writing it. This is me. And he just finishes off this first little bit with, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Our hope. In a sense, that's what I'm coming back to, is it wasn't a if. There's no doubt involved. He is absolutely certain that Jesus is our hope. Why can he say that? He puts Christ first. Christ first. The one who was raised out of death. The one who is on the other side of death. He is our hope. Why? He is risen from among the dead. No doubts about that. There was those who had seen him when he was risen. Above 500 at once, Various ones saw him risen from among the dead. And Paul here is no doubt at all about it, that Christ Jesus risen from among the dead. Christ Jesus, our hope. So he says, it's my hope and it's your hope. This one who is risen from among the dead. Jesus, in one sense, is unchanged. Jesus is the same one who trod this scene. Think of Jesus as he trod this scene. It says he was wearied with the way he had come. Often wonder, was he dirty? Was he dusty, having walked for miles in dusty roads? Sure he was. He looked like a Jew. The woman said there, she's, what dost thou being a Jew? The Lord didn't counter her, didn't change it. He knew that he looked like a Jew. But being wearied with the way he had come. Yes, that's who the man was that was there. That is the man that we will see in glory. Yes, speaks of later that the Jews will, in a future day, not too long, but they will, in a future day, they will look on him whom they pierced. They will look on him. They will see him, recognize him, and they'll acclaim him. They'll acknowledge the greatness of the person who has been here. He has been here, and he is coming back again. He is coming back to claim everyone who has trusted in him to be with himself. Think of that. He is coming again. He is coming again. It's not a case of hope as in doubt, fingers crossed. No, he is coming again. And my message at the end of his gospel is, have you got hope? Do you have Jesus as your hope? Yes, Jesus, we can quite clearly tell you from Scripture, standing on the authority of Scripture, he is coming again. That is fact. When, again, standing on the authority of Scripture, we don't know when. Persons ask Jesus, when will these things be? And he says, it's not mine nor yours to know. It's in the Father's hands, but it will happen. It's a fact. It's a fact. So, when to say that Christ Jesus is our hope is not being presumptuous. It's not being silly about things. It's the reality that a Christian has, that there is an assured event going to happen. The only thing is, we do not know when. When? Yes. That was my simple thought for tonight, is God as the God of hope. Hope. Our hope. Paul's hope. Timothy's hope. But is it your hope? May you do so. Know Jesus as your Saviour. Think of that. What is left to us here is to believe. The only thing that's left that we can do is to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. No doubt. Shalt be saved. Dear friend, may you do so. If you've not already done so, may you accept Jesus while it is still his time. May it be so, for his name's sake.